I just really appreciate you. And I want you to share your good news that you got about your Black Joy work.
All right. Before I do it, can I get a little drum roll, though? Can
yes. Coochie Chagulia.
Coochie Chagulia. Okay, we're going to break this down. We all received the confirmation email that said unanimously the committee agreed to financially support and in-house support the publication of this first ever journal about Black Joy. Mm.
Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, where spirituality and earth wisdom meet racial justice and women's leadership.
Welcome back, beautiful. This is Aminata Desirose, Plant Walker Firewoman, and it is so cold and it's getting darker and darker every day. And I have to admit, as we approach this winter solstice, which is going to happen in a couple of days, I am feeling more and more connected, you know, to the earth and grateful for this time of cold and darkness. This is really, really new for me because I am a warm weather chick in so many ways. But descending into the dark and really connecting to the roots under the ground, I am feeling held by our Earth Mother and trusting in her intelligence and her longevity and, you know, the cycles, all of that. So that's where I'm coming from today. The episode that you're going to hear is an interview with Dr. Chris Omni, who is a scholar of Black Joy in green spaces. She is also known as the health hippie. She's got over 2 decades of mobilizing people for public health. And her dissertation was on Black women and Black joy and a movement away from a deficit narrative about Black people to one of finding our resilience and our strength. So Dr. Omni in this interview is going to share with us how she came to understand Black joy as she did her research with Black women, how she used the arts as a methodology for her research, which I loved, and her fabulous great news about her upcoming new journal called Black Joy, which is the only one of its kind in the world. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you. I want to say a word, though, about Kwanzaa, because by the time you listen to this episode, we will probably be right about to start observing Kwanzaa. And Dr. Omni mentions 3 principles from Kwanzaa that are foundational to her work. She says Kuumba, Kujichagulia, and Ujima. So you'll find out more about what those 3 principles are in this episode. And I want to encourage everyone to just think about maybe at least one of those principles and how that resonates with you, whether you are of African descent or not. How would Kujichagulia, which is self-determination, or Kuumba, which is creativity, or Ujima, which is collective work, how can any of those principles be meaningful for you? And I also want us to really take heart and maybe inspiration from Dr. Omni's decision to not do more research on Black pain, but to instead focus on joy. And as she says in the episode, you can hold joy and pain at the same time, but our tendency to focus on lack and, you know, how we've been victimized can obscure our joy in the face of it all, and our abundance in the face of it all. So I love where she's going, and I think it shakes things up, and I'm so glad to be a part of amplifying her message. If you have a message, if you have a founding or a starting of something that is profound, that is not rooted in this current paradigm, but that is taking us out of here, that's revolutionary, that's new earth, that's fifth dimensional, I want you to be in touch with me, because I'm creating something new in 2024 where we really amplify those voices and bring people together so we can leverage our resources and everything as we make this great big shift. So you can reach out to me, Amanda at dramandakemp.com, or just go to my website, dramandakemp.com, and get in contact with me. All right. See you on the other side. Now, Dr. Chris Omni on Black Joy.
Good day, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. I am so glad you are here today on the Mother Tree Network, sharing some time with me and our special guest today, Dr. Chris Omni. Dr. Omni is a Black Joy scholar. So her work is all about, how do you cultivate Black Joy? How has it been cultivated in the past? And what can we do to have more of it now? She is also known as the healthy hippie?
The health hippie.
Oh, the health hippie.
Yes, yes.
She's a health hippie. She's a health mobilizer. I love that description of yourself. She's an artist, and I can't wait to talk with her about sunsets and oceans and trees and all the good, good stuff.
Yes.
But Dr. Omni, before we start, I always like to ask people, what is good? What is good for you today?
Thank you. Besides the obvious of waking up.
Not so obvious.
true. But yesterday I turned 49.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. So what is good is about being in this final and transition crown chakra year. So with seven energy systems, and it takes 7 years to really grow through each system, 7 times 7 is 49. So I'm sitting right at that perfect place of awareness and spiritual connection. And I'm ready. I know that this year is going to be filled with magic and beauty. So that's what's good.
Wow. I'm right there. I'm here for it. I'm here for your magic and beauty to flow.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to send it your way, and then I'm going to receive it from you as well.
Yes. 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 Let's reflect it. Bounce it back between each other, which is what we're doing anyway, right?
Indeed. Well, whenever you're in conversation, you are really sharing energy. You're exchanging a moment and a memory that is here and now. Mm-hmm, so we're sitting in a place of gratitude. So yes, we're a mirror of one another in this space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of mirror neurons? It's this idea that somehow we will implicitly or subtly start to mirror each other's energy.
I guess I've never heard of it as mirror neurons. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like what I, and everybody's like, put it on a shirt, but your vibe attracts your tribe. So that's the way I see that. But mirror neurons works for me too.
I love that. Your vibe attracts your tribe. So if you're attracting people that aren't vibing with you, what does that mean?
Then that means it could be a teachable moment as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you've already created this space of amplification around you and you have this ancestral protection, mm-hmm. that negative energy is not going to come into your sphere. But if somebody is not there to match that vibe, they might be there to learn about that vibe because they're on a journey to elevate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, for me, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Wow. There's a lot there. I want to, and I really want to talk about joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of the vibe. So what have you found in your scholarship about Black joy?
Oh, thank you.
I know that's a big question.
Thank you. Thank you. I have to always lead with the difference between happiness and joy, because a lot of people ask, well, if you're researching Black joy, how is that different than happiness? Or how is Black joy different than regular joy? So I'll take it back to at least my definition. Happiness happens to you. Joy happens within you. So it is very possible to hold both joy and pain in the same body at the same time. Whereas happiness is something that just kind of comes in. And this, like a birthday celebration, could be a moment of happiness. But the joy that I feel about reaching this crown chakra age is going to carry with me forever. So for me, I like to differentiate between joy of that's that inner peace. And what I've learned about Black joy in my research is that it's a collective. So for some people, joy is just an individualistic state, but Black joy is community. Black joy is collective. It is me witnessing my fellow queens and my brothers and their joy. And this is in also in Buddhist practice, where empathetic joy is something that you feel by watching and witnessing somebody else's joy. And that's what I've discovered in my research. It's phenomenal and fascinating at the same time, because not only is it collective, it supports in a twisted way the strong Black woman phenomena. So my first research study was called Black Joy in Green Spaces, which we'll talk about here pretty soon. But in response to this collective state and collective ideology, the strong Black woman phenomena is really an ethics of care ideology, where we care for other people, sometimes at the expense of caring for our own selves. So while I was working on my dissertation, all of the participants were dealing with something in their own lives. One was in the middle of her own defense to become Dr. Jerry. Another one was finishing up her master's program, or the semester of her master's program. So she's in graduate school. And the other one was dealing with an immediate death in her family. So that strong Black woman, you have that cape on, and they decided to take care of me in that space to be a part of my research. So it became this collective state of joy when we're there to uplift one another, even though we're carrying our own individual baggage and pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that what you said about you can carry joy and pain at the same time. It's yeah. If you live long enough, you know, that's true, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how do you like if you wake up, for example, it could happen at any point in any day, you could all of a sudden find yourself in a pity party. You could find yourself, you know, feeling resentful. I mean, you know, all the feelings that we have, you can feel overwhelmed by reading the news. So how do you cultivate from the inside that joy?
That is a beautiful question as well. I lead with saying that when people say take one day at a time, mm-hmm. I challenge that and say take one moment at a time. Because just as you said, even within one day, you could cycle through emotions.
Yes.
I could be like in this super hype state with you right now and then get off this Zoom call and then get a phone call and it just changes my world.
Yeah.
And that really is the cycle of life. But what I come back to, which is to answer your question of how do you cultivate that joy, find those moments that have happened that you can hold on to and transport yourself back to. The easiest one for me is my mama. mm-hmm. that I watched my mama transition from a 26-year battle with cancer. Mm-hmm. So that was a painful moment, but I was able to hold on to that joyful state of my mama watched me take my first breath. Mm-hmm. She was the vessel that I came through with support of my dad, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a painful moment, but I can transport myself back to day one of she watched that first breath. Mm-hmm. So as you learn to cultivate, you learn to capture those moments in the past mm-hmm. that have been very joyful, that have changed the frequency of your life, mm-hmm. and then just go back in time, continue to go back until it feels like you're still living there in that moment.
Really? Okay. So, I'm really liking what you said. I'm thinking about when you said go back to, and you go back to your mother and you go back to that moment she gave you, she watched you take your first breath and, you know, you clearly love your mother and you, you know, if I was to put a word on it, what I kind of felt coming from you was gratitude for her, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love that you use that word because my nephew messaged me probably about a month ago. And he's like, Auntie, how do you cultivate gratitude? Mm. So it becomes that question. How do you cultivate joy? How do you cultivate gratitude? It takes time. Mm. It takes time. I am a grower. I don't call myself a gardener. I am a grower. So I have a lot of rescue plants. I have a container garden. I have some vegetables and some fruit on the side of the house. So I grow with love. But as you cultivate these different spaces, you understand that that growth does not happen overnight, that you have to nurture it day in, day out. And it doesn't mean that you have to water it frequently, like every single day. But just to acknowledge its presence and its beauty, I think that's the way we cultivate anything. If you're cultivating joy, if you're cultivating gratitude, if you're cultivating a relationship, mm-hmm. that's a place of nurturing. Mm. It takes time to build that.
Yes. And, you know, before we started the conversation, before we started the recording, I mentioned I saw a turtle on your cup. And then you proceeded to tell me what? How many turtles are in your space with you right now, or images of turtles?
Well, let me lead with the biggest turtle that stays with me all the time. So,
Dr. Omni is showing us a magnificent turtle on her bicep.
So I carry that turtle with me. And over on my right, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 turtles. I have a couple of turtles over here. I love turtles because they are that constant reminder to go slow. That they will, and I've watched this happen. They will cross the street at their own time and reach their destination and just continue to go slow. Mm. So that's a reminder to me to slow down. Mm. That you'll reach your destination. Take your time and enjoy those individual steps. And I think that goes back to the cultivating piece. Take your time. Those individual steps will help you reach your destination.
Mm. Mm. And because you were talking about yourself as a grower, as it takes time, you know, tend to it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That's why I brought up your turtles, because it seems like it's not instantaneous. And it's also, you know, turtles are low to the ground, mm-hmm. you know, Turtle Island.
Yes. The conversation of being grounded, mm-hmm. being close enough to let your feet touch the soil. Mm-hmm. Right now, when you did the opening with the breath work and you said, feel your feet, I have and I couldn't make this up. If I could lift it up, I would show you. Let me see if I can get this. I have a cutting from a tree.
Ooh.
So I rest my feet on this tree And I ground myself in this space because I can't go outside for this interview, but I bring outside in.
Yes.
And just like what you said, turtles are that close to the ground and they get to feel the earth every single day.
Mm. And you know what? I was looking at some photos and my dog, we used to have two, one of our dogs passed on, but he lived a very long time and he was always laying belly down on the ground. He was always looking for some dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we went outside, he was like, and then he'd be lying all down, getting all in it.
Yes. We need that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take that permission and that cue from your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about your journey with your dog, and my condolences. I went through the same thing this year.
Mm.
We had three, now we have two, and they all love the sun and they all love to be that close, belly down.
Yes. Yes. And so I just want to shout out belly down. If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, go belly down.
Ooh. Hashtag that one.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag.
Hashtag belly down.
So I want to come back to Black Joy, because you could have just done your thesis on joy or mm-hmm. your dissertation on joy, but you chose to do it on Black Joy. So tell me about that.
The reason is I was extremely tired of the deficit narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely tired. My background for 25 years is in public health.
Mm-hmm.
I have a master's degree in public health. My thesis was on physical activity to improve the health and well-being of Black women, but it was physical activity to address the health disparities. And the health disparities I looked at were cancer, diabetes, and hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even guilty of what I am so tired of now, of perpetuating that deficit narrative by constantly repeating what's wrong with Black people.
Mm-hmm.
So for the show and for your audience, just so they can understand the heaviness of this, that Black women are 42% more likely to die from cancer. We are 60% more likely to be diabetic.
More likely 30, than who?
The comparison is always white women.
Okay.
They always compare Black and white.
Okay.
So that's another conversation in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But 42% more likely to die from cancer, 60% more likely to be diabetic, 30% more likely to die from stroke. Over 80% of us are overweight. 53% of us are obese. And when you continuously share these statistics, mm-hmm. it's heavy to hear as mm-hmm. a Black woman or a public health professional as a whole, but it's even heavier to hold, to be a Black woman and to know these statistics are impacting my queens. But what they're not saying in this canon of research is that 100% of us still live with stories of joy. My mama, who was in that first statistic of 42% more likely to die from cancer, she still lived with joy. She even died with joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what people are not hearing in the research is, how can joy be a social determinant of health? So I wanted to change the narrative to focus on what is right with us, to conduct studies that run counter to any other public health study where they just continue to cite what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There is a queen by the name of Dr. Angela Dunbar, who said that it is time for us to have complete studies that are absent of pain. When I read her words, that was the download. That was the permission. That was the green light that says, go forward and do complete studies that are absent of pain.
Mm. So give me an example. What would be a complete study absent of pain?
So my last study was Black Joy in Green Spaces, where specifically we explored nature's influence on the emotional impact of Black women, right? I had to situate it in what was wrong. But then the majority of the research was, how is nature a healing space for us? How do we experience joy in nature? So the research methodology that I used involved, the methods were walking, photography, and a concept called photo elicitation interviewing, where all the participants could just go into nature and take pictures of things that brought them joy.
Okay, I love this.
So this is an arts-based research practice. And let me rewind, because people are familiar with quantitative research. People are familiar with qualitative research. Not everybody has heard of arts-based research. So this PhD in art education opened up a whole world of what's possible when we explore our research questions through an artistic lens.
Okay, so you have your PhD in arts education.
Yes.
And your master's in public health.
Yes.
Awesome combination. Beautiful combination.
It's a marriage. It's a marriage. Thank you.
So your study, you allow Black women, you encourage them to go out, take pictures of what brings you joy. Is that like your, okay.
That was it.
What did you learn?
The hardest part is for me to tell them that they could take as many photos as they want, but for the sake of time, they can only select 5 to bring back into the interview space. So we were out in nature together, and I watched them as they were taking their pictures, which is also another level of care. And for IRB sake, it's about this ethics of protection. A lot of people don't stop to think about the historical trauma that Black people face or could possibly be re-triggered by going into these nature spaces and seeing the trees and seeing the moss hanging from the trees, to be transported to the conversations of lynching. And that happened in my study. One of the participants stopped before she continued on into this trail and said, I can't, because looking at that Spanish moss, I see my ancestors. But she sat there. And for me, it's about holding space. So you could sit there as long as you need to. If we need to end this study right now, we end it. But in holding space and allowing her to breathe, she turned and saw the water. And in my dissertation, and I created a web series around this, so you can see this all unfold in the web series. But she realized that it was the green spaces that also saved our ancestors, the places of hiding, the places of food and foraging, that it became something that gave her the inspiration to move forward in this space. So they're taking all these photos, and then they get to come back and we talk about the 5 most important photos. And what I learned, and it was an intergenerational study, but what I learned is that every single person at different times took pictures of water. And
brought them back to you.
And brought them back to me. Right. So I had one person take as few as 24 pictures. The other person took as many as 98. So only picking 5, the ones that they wanted to discuss focused on water. So that gave me a chance to dive deeper into, what does water mean to you? How does water represent joy in your life? It was healing for all of them. It was a state of flow. It was the ability to have birth and rebirth. And listening to all of them talk about the power of water was like inspiration for another study, because then you get an idea of not just Black joy in green spaces, but how about Black joy in blue bodies? How can water bring healing and joy and this new frequency to the conversation of public health? So I don't know if I answered that.
Oh my God, I love that story. Okay.
I feel like I went on a tangent thinking about that.
Well, it's so lovely. You know, let's be joyful. Let's go on joyful tangents. And I'm thinking about, so the study, the women came to you with their five pictures. They talked to you about what was important, what they loved about them, I assume. And did that like increase their sense of joy? Did it, what was the impact of being, of doing this project with you?
The impact is what encouraged this next study that I'm on right now. Mm. The impact was gratitude. The overall consistent impact from my 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, every participant shared that state of gratitude for the invitation to slow down.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't just gratitude to see the beautiful water or the trees. It was the invitation to slow down. They felt grateful.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Why do you think that was the thing that was common for them all?
We're always doing something. We're always busy. My new study is called Cape Break, the Reverse Engineering of the Strong Black Woman Phenomena. But that is it. We are always taking care of other people. And I said in that opening that one person was dealing with a death in the family. One person was working on her own defense. The other person was finishing up her semester of graduate school. We're constantly doing something, but rarely receive the invitation to, as I say, let being be enough.
Mm, you are full of these sound bites. Okay. Let being be enough. Okay. I love it. And your vibe attracts your tribe. Okay, I'm tracking.
They're all going to be on shirts, so they can buy the shirts next year.
Okay, so and then you said the study you're doing now is called Cape Break, like the Superman cape, take the cape off. Okay,
exactly.
All right. So you the study about Black joy in green places where you had these women experiencing photographs. Did you have them take photographs because that was a way for them to be in the space and have something to do? Why not just have them be in the space and just breathe in the space?
We did both. Mm-hmm. We did both. Mm-hmm. So the study started with a one-on-one conversation in the grass where we sat down.
I love your research. I love this methodology.
Thank you. So we sat down and we got grounded and the breeze was blowing. The trees were right there. The sun was shining on us and they just had a moment to talk. And it was semi-structured in the interview space. What brings you joy? What does Black joy mean to you? Can you tell me like your earliest memory of being in green spaces? And then just flowing off of each one of those answers. Then we were able to walk into green space at Piney Z here in Tallahassee, Florida. And the reason for the picture taking is because it sounds corny, but a picture is worth 1,000 words. And a lot of times we hear, let me walk in your shoes. But this gave you a chance to walk in their shoes and look through their lens.
Mm.
That's why I selected photography. Mm. And it's not about being a professional photographer because girl, that's not my strength. Mm-hmm. I enjoy taking pictures. I enjoy creating the web series, mm-hmm. but it's not pure top-notch professional quality. Mm-hmm. But in the method of photo elicitation interviewing and just the method of photography, period, it's never about the professionalism.
Right.
It's about the moment. It is about the story you are trying to capture in the photo. Mm-hmm. And it makes you be present. It makes you observe. There was one of the participants who would walk there frequently, but to stop and take pictures, she had never, at this level, had never done. So right. that the pictures in itself become another invitation to right. see.
Mm, to see and to slow down, to see what you see and to see, is that what I want to photograph? Hmm. Yeah, I see it. It's just, it's getting more and more present.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I keep on going back to let being be enough. Can I just be here and feel this breeze? Can I be here and capture this moment of the butterfly? Can I be here and just see that water as it ripples back and forth towards me and away from me? We need more invitations like that. Mm. And my research provides those invitations for Black women.
Mm. So we're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, we're going to hear more from Dr. Chris Omni, scholar of Black joy. And I just love this arts thing and arts as a methodology. Yes, more. Please bring it on. Okay, but we'll be right back. Hey, beautiful. Would you benefit from a safe space where you can slow down and listen? Listen for what your ancestors have to say, what the earth has to say, what the divine has to say to you? If so, then head on over to my website, dramandakemp.com, and sign up for a complimentary sacred listening session. It's 30 minutes where you get to slow down and listen for the vibration of truth. I'll hold space for you. I'll light a candle for you. And together, you can answer your questions. Look forward to seeing you. Dr. Omni, it is so much fun talking to you. You know
Likewise.
What I mean?
I'm Likewise. Just,
I love your methodology. I mean, because it's like making research humane and human, you know, and doing it in such a way that it actually contributes to the participants. You know, I love all that win-win-win all the way through it. But I know, and I feel like this probably relates to your principles or your values. And I've come across some of your stuff where you talk about Kwanzaa. So I because I hope that we can publish this episode during Kwanzaa week, can you please tell us like which Kwanzaa values are really important for you and how they have influenced your work on Black joy?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought this up because some people just celebrate Kwanzaa during the 7 days. Mm-hmm. I live Kwanzaa. So it is something that is valuable to me as a person, valuable to me as a scholar. So while working on my dissertation, I decided to create what's called the Kujima theory of collective self-motivation. My dissertation took 3 years from start to finish. My MPH took 3 years from start to finish. So when I was working on my master's, I also was working with the Kujima theory. But at that time, I only had two principles, which were Kuji Chagalia, which means self-determination, and Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility. So when I was working in that space with my master's, there was still something missing. It worked. It fulfilled what I needed for a theoretical foundation. But it wasn't until I started really diving into this space of art-based research, this creative element that goes into research. And then I said, that's it.
So that third element is?
Is Kumba.
Yes.
Pumbaa. Yes. So Kujima is a creative configuration of three Kwanzaa principles, starting with Kuji Chagaliya, which means self-determination. So within this space, according to my theoretical framework, we have to be determined as an individual to want something, go after something, to know that there is that thing that we are moving towards, right? That we are doing this, but we have this internal drive. We know that the ancestors are there, but we have this internal drive. I was telling my husband yesterday that I'm thinking about how people were led out of enslavement, mm-hmm. and how multiple somebody said, follow me, mm-hmm. follow me. I am determined to lead us to freedom. So that self-determination is part one, which is Kuji Chagaliya. I personally am determined to lead us into a space where it's no longer the deficit narrative. I'm determined to bring people along with me who believe in providing a counter narrative. I am working with research mentees and interns and people who are in their late teens and early 20s to show them that there's a different way to engage with scholarship, that there's not one size fits all. So I have that self-determination to show what's possible. The second principle is Kumbaa, which is creativity. I never considered myself an artist. That was not a title that I put on me. That was not part of my identity. I've always been a creative person. So I've leaned into that creative space, but working on this dissertation, I also decided, let me go ahead and don this title of artist, because I'm doing more than just creativity. I'm creating an arts-based practice around walking and photography, and I'm bridging that with public health. And we all have a creative atmosphere to us. We all might not call ourselves artists, but as a parent, you got to be creative. As a significant other, you got to be creative. As an employer, as an employee, you got to be creative. And I think I firmly believe that when we tap into that creative nature, we see things in a whole different way. I see research in a whole different way. I see the methods, the methodology, the theory, the populations in a whole different way. That you can't just look at Black women and see the deficit narrative. And I say that over and over and over again. But you can't just see those statistics. You have to creatively see what is right. And what is right are those stories of joy that people have not yet pulled out in this public health space. The last principle is Ujima, collective work and responsibility. I can't just do it by myself. I can't just do it because I creatively come up with something. But the collective work expands beyond me, expands beyond Black women, expands beyond Black people. It expands out into the universe for a network of people who understand the importance of pulling upon joy as a new way to live, a new way to research, a way to look at social determinants of health through a lens of joy. That's not just going to be Black women. That's not just going to be Black people. But for the collective, that the whole, to see that as your responsibility, to see that as I'm going to do my part, self-determination, I'm going to do my part within my sphere to help change the narrative. That's where all three of these living principles come in for the work that I do and the life that I live. Mm.
Okay, so I love that. I love those three principles of Kuji Chagaliya. First of all, what a fabulous word. Yes. It's like a poem. Coochie Chocolate. Yes. Lisa, you know? Yes.
There's like a whole beat to it.
Right. So this is all Kiswahili that these principles are named in. And then Ujima and Kuumba. And for me, you know, if there's no pleasure, why are we doing it? Sometimes you gotta clean up the mess, and you'd rather be sleeping or you'd rather be doing something else. Sometimes you do have to do that. But come on now. I think 80%, please. Can we be rooted in pleasure? Can we be rooted in this brings me joy? Even if 20% of what I do every day is part of my responsibilities because it comes from my ethic of care.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. And I'm glad you framed it like that, because cape break for Black women is not throwing the cape away. Mm-hmm. It's taking a break from that narrative so that you can focus on joy. And when you need to put that cape back on, because there are things that have to be done, put it on and come right back off and take a break.
Mm. You know, this is what I feel either or thinking obscures to us. You know, either or thinking obscures like cape or no cape, you know, and then you're like, no, cape break, you put it back on, you know, and so when you were talking about joy and pain, I mean, I really just want to highlight for everybody, what we're talking about is coming from a whole place, coming from a wholeness, like we are part of the collective. So of course we need care, and we see ourselves in the collective. So of course we want to care for others, you know, so I just really appreciate you. And I want you to share your good news that you got about your Black Joy work.
All right. Before I do it, can I get a little drum roll though? Can
yes. Coochie Chagulia.
Hey. Coochie Chagulia. Okay. We're going to break this down. There it is. So the good news is, I am working with a team of fabulous research mentees and interns and graduate students. And one of them is a PhD in English. The other one, she is about to graduate with, yes, in May, she's about to graduate with her undergraduate in psychology. But the three of us worked on a grant that was offered to FSU libraries, because they sent out a call for proposals with financial support to create a journal. And what we submitted was a journal about Black joy. On November 20th, we all received the confirmation email that said unanimously, the committee agreed to financially support and in-house support the publication of this first ever journal about Black joy.
Mm.
Now, when I say first ever, I really need to, that's why I said drum roll. I really need to emphasize that this is not just first ever in Florida State University history, which I was thinking that in FSU database, this is the only one. When I reached out to the director of FSU libraries and their digital humanities space, he said, no, this is out of 388,000 journals.
In the world.
Yes. Out of 388,000 journals, there are none that are exclusively dedicated to Black joy. And what we're doing is bringing in creative writing and research in this same space so that it touches everybody, but it's the umbrella of joy.
Mm-hmm.
It is geared towards reframing the narrative and not always presenting our work through a trauma lens.
Mm.
So in 2024, it is our aim to, we'll say early 25, late 24, to publish our journal on Black joy.
Well, congratulations. Thank you for breaking the space, you know?
Yes.
For having the vision.
Thank you. Self-determination.
Yes. Self-determination. There it is.
And it was that Ujima. Yeah, that collective work.
Yes.
It was all three of us that put that together.
And you said the vibe attracts your tribe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you attracted a tribe. And you will, with the journal, you will attract even more people with that vibe who want to support that.
Yes.
Wow. So thank you so much, Dr. Omni. If people want to know more about this project, the journal, if they want to stay in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get with you and to find more out?
So we have a digital humanities space, and the project was also funded by FSU Libraries through a different division, and it is blacktivatejoy.create.fsu.edu. You're laughing.
I love it. Blacktivate. So for everybody who's like, what? We're saying black activate. So blacktivate joy.
Yes.
At fsu.edu. Yeah. Oh.
blacktivatejoy.create.fsu.edu.
Awesome. And we will definitely put that in the show notes. I don't want anybody to miss it. And if people want to follow you, if they want to just, you know, I don't know if you have an email list or people you reach out to on a regular basis, how does that happen?
They could find me on Instagram. I am the Black Joy Scholar on Instagram. And they can also find me on LinkedIn. I do a lot of posting on LinkedIn because I am currently on a speaking tour. And starting back in September, I was speaking at the State of Black Health Conference in Puerto Rico. Then October, I was in, Atlanta for the Black Doctoral Network. In November, I was at Upswell in Dallas, Texas. In 2 weeks, I'll be in St. Pete. So every month, I am somewhere else speaking. And they could follow that journey on LinkedIn. And my name there is Chris Omni.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you for holding down and expanding joy in our consciousness. And I look forward to collaborating with you in the future.
Indeed. Thank you so much for creating and holding the space and seeing the value in the conversation of Black joy. I appreciate you.
All right, y'all. See you next time.
Okay, Kuji Chagulia, one of my favorite words, all those syllables. It is like a poem. Kuji Chagulia, hey. Okay, so we had an expression of Black joy there at the very end. Thank you for listening. Please support this podcast by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, by giving us a shout out wherever you do social media, or going to my website and getting in contact with me. Suggest a speaker, join the Mother Tree Network community. Stay in touch. I cannot wait to hear from you in our complimentary sacred listening sessions. I cannot wait to collaborate with more fifth dimensional, joyful, visionary people rooted in the new earth who are ready to create new structures and leave the current things that we have behind. I'm looking forward to getting to know you all better. And please enjoy this Kwanzaa season. Love and peace.